Breaking news today on Seculo as the feds find Clinton and the DNC over the Steele dossier.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Yeah, you remember the Steele dossier, the basis for the spying on the Trump campaign, the FISA court, the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, the Mueller investigation, all of that through the Steele dossier. Well, yesterday the FEC has announced that the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign will be fined by the Federal Elections Commission $113,000. $8,000 to the Clinton campaign, $105,000 to the DNC for falsely claiming that they were just paying legal bills to the Clinton campaign law firm when in fact they were paying for opposition research to go to Fusion GPS to ultimately put together a campaign document, which we call in the campaign world opposition research, which was the Steele dossier. This, of course, dates back to the 2016 election and a complaint filed in 2018. So, Dad, it took till 2022. But notable here, neither the Clinton campaign nor the DNC objected. They didn't say, they said we're going to pay the fine, but they did not object to this characterization that they broke the law.
That's right. Now, this, remember, was the basis upon which a foreign intelligence surveillance court documents were submitted. The actual report here, that served the Steele dossier, which is where this all came out of, was the basis upon which FISA warrants were sought and ultimately issued, even though they knew, the FBI knew at the time, that the information contained in those reports were really suspect. Now, this is the first admission we have 2 years, more than 2 years now, after the investigation commenced by Bob Mueller. This relates to the Bob Mueller investigation. And we said at the outset in that representation of the president that this whole Steele dossier issue was a smokescreen. It wasn't real. It wasn't real information. You remember James Comey went up and privately briefed the president at Trump Tower because they were so concerned that he was going to be compromised. Well, now we know that this entire event, as we suggested, arrived out of the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign, who, instead of listing it as it was, as Jordan just said, opposition research, decided instead that they would call it legal fees to hide it. Remember, the information was not reliable. The FISA court admonished the government for abusing the system. An FBI attorney changed the wording in an email in order to obtain a FISA warrant on an American citizen. This is why this is, again, an outrage. And the fining is one thing, $110,000. But what's more important here is that it actually happened. And now we know again, which we knew, of course, when we were representing the president during the Mueller nonsense to begin with. But remember, Bob Mueller, Jordan, when asked about Fusion GPS, said, "I don't know who they are."
Yeah, they said, you know, we won't do this again. The campaign and the DNC. So if Hillary Clinton were to run again, and we want to take your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. I mean, the wheels of justice, they take a long time. Now, they were fast to try and go after Donald Trump. They were fast to go after him. But ultimately here, what you see is the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, which is a bipartisan commission of commissioners, saying that the Clinton campaign and the DNC violated election law, and they had to pay fines, a total of $113,000 because they misreported this information. Of course, if this were Republicans, I can't even imagine where this would go. But we'll take your calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. And, Dad, it's a very important time for people to support the work of the ACLJ.
Boy, it sure is, folks. We're in a matching challenge campaign, and we have a budget. And we're behind our budget right now, and we are a little short of that budget. So your support of the ACLJ right now, last day for the March campaign. By the way, the band is going to be performing tonight, so we'll get some more information on that. But ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org. Do it today. Last day for the March matching challenge. We're behind our budget. We sure could use your support. ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Secular Folks. If you are just joining us, we want to take your calls on this 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The headline, New York Post, Clinton campaign and the DNC fined by the FEC for lying about the now debunked, I mean, it's been a long time debunked, Steele dossier. The FEC fined him a total of $113,000. They didn't object. They didn't fight back against the FEC. And in fact, this is what happened. The FEC said that Clinton and the DNC claimed the money given to their outside law firm for the campaign to hire Fusion GPS, I mean, they put that in there, was reported just to go towards legal advice and services, but not opposition research, which needed to be in a campaign disclosure, as that's directly related to political work by the campaign, which is different disclosure than just legal services. So, Dad, they were trying to bury this from not just the American people, but from the government regulators as well. And now they pay right. The price.
Yeah, and one of the regulators that they were trying to hide it from is the Federal Election Commission. So they were caught, and they settled it. Now, what does that mean? It means they got a slap on the wrist. They paid $110,000 in fines. But what's more important than the fines is the fact that it acknowledges what we already knew, and that this was put up by the Clinton campaign, and that there was no credibility in that dossier to begin with, yet the FBI relied upon it to mislead the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. And that is really significant. We got calls coming in on this. I want to take them because I know people are upset about this. If you're watching on any of our social media applications, a lot of you are listening on radio, share this with your friends. Get more people involved. We'll take your calls as well at 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead, Jordan, take a call.
Yeah, Israel calling in from Connecticut online, too. Hey, Israel, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you very much for taking my call and for all of your hard work, seriously. But here's the question. If this was done intentionally, can she still run as president? And if she can, why?
Because she has not individually been charged with something that would disqualify her from office. So you have a situation where Hillary Clinton has not been charged. Her campaign, it's not a criminal case. It was a civil fine. So it's an adjudication, yes, but it's not an adjudication that's a disqualifier for running for office.
Yeah, I think what's more important is this is a vindication of Donald Trump, a continued vindication of the Trump campaign and President Trump, that this was a phony document, that they tried to hide the sourcing behind the document. They tried to hide that they were paying for it. They tried to hide that, not just from the American people, not just from voters, but they tried to hide it from the federal government as well, because if this was all out, which, by the way, I mean, there was they should have all known this dossier was bogus, but if they knew that this was part of opposition research, and, Dad, this is why Sussman, one of the attorneys at this firm, is in trouble, is because when he went to the FBI and DOJ with this information to get those investigations started, he didn't tell them about who was behind it. That it was Fusion GPS, that his firm had hired an outside firm to try and hide that from the FEC, that it was actually the Clinton campaign's Oppo Research.
Well, that's exactly, you know, he said it was, he had no client. To be very specific here, Sussman, lawyer, big lawyer for the Democrats, said he had no client. And in fact, there was a client. It was the Clinton campaign and the DNC, and it was a opposition research program that they denied, or the lawyer mischaracterized to the point where the Department of Justice has brought an indictment. There's not been a final adjudication of that yet. But all this goes to show you, they were so intent on taking Trump down from the beginning that they were going to this kind of level. And now we just, it's becoming very obvious. We're just, it's almost, you're almost stating the obvious. But it does show you the nature of what was going on here. Let's go ahead, Jordan, take another. We got a lot of calls coming in, 800-684-3110. Let's take another call.
Yeah, Carrie in Washington State on line one. I know a lot of people have this question often when this comes back in the news. Hey, Carrie, welcome to Seculope.
Thank you. My question is, could we ever see Hillary end up in jail for the things she's done and are doing?
Look, I want to be very clear on something. I mean, because people throw this around, you know, fair, and I know you weren't doing that, Carrie, but they throw it around casually. I want to see this person in jail. I want to see that this person indicted. Let me tell you what I want to see. I want to see justice, but I want there to be, before someone brings a criminal case against anybody, against anyone, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, anyone, Joe Biden, Joe Biden's son, before anybody brings a criminal case against them, there better be evidence beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, I'm not doing that to defend what the Clintons did or what this one did. No. I'm just telling you, you don't throw around criminal exposure as if it's a parking ticket, because it's not.
Because if you make that the norm in politics, see what happened to Donald Trump. I mean, the DA in New York just, you know, the lawyers quitting, dropping it, saying there's nothing here. I mean, you got that happening. You had the Mueller investigation. You had impeachments twice. I mean, so this becoming the norm in politics of sending your political opponents to jail. Now, if they do something, like you said, Dad, really illegal, and people like that are associated with the campaign, like Sussman, the attorney, who was held to even a higher standard because he's an attorney, lying to the FBI and the DOJ. Yeah, criminal charges. But honestly, the norm in our politics should not be sending people to jail. But what I understand completely from our audience and our listeners is that that became the norm for Democrats, Dad.
Yes.
It was, you're my political opponent. I want to try and get you to jail. I want to either impeach you or send you to jail. I want you criminally liable. We are still seeing that today in Washington, D.C., where I am, with the January 6th Commission. Their ultimate goal is to send Republicans to jail because they had a view that they disagree with.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about all of that is that when you criminalize, first of all, you can't criminalize free speech. Now, vandalizing the Capitol is not free speech. Those are crimes. But when you say that a speech involves criminal exposure, that's a very narrow window. But what Jordan said is so right, and I want to underscore it. We'll take another call, 1-800-684-3110. What you're seeing in all of this play out is the criminalization of politics, and that is a very dangerous thing. And Jordan, you've been with congressmen and senators. We'll be joined by Jim Jordan later in the broadcast. You were with a senator yesterday. You and I were speaking to Senator Kennedy last week. I mean, there is a lot of concern out there on the way the body politic is moving right now.
Yeah, I was with Senator Thune last night. He's a good friend of ours. He's the minority whip, so the second highest ranking Republican U.S. senator. He's been a long term since he was a congressman from South Dakota. You know, right now we're representing his governor. I was talking to him about that last night in South Dakota with Governor Noem. But these issues, right, that the opposition, I will tell you, I mean, I can't share everything from the discussion, but there was some really interesting information about some of the members of the U.S. Senate. People could probably figure out these names of Democrats who are unhappy with where their party is. There's not a lot of them, just a couple, handful, but they are really unhappy with where the Democrat Party is moving, that the idea of demonizing your opponents. It's not Republicans who started that. It is the Democrats. It is the Democrats today who are trying to put Republicans in jail. And so I understand when everybody calls in and says, why aren't we trying to put them in jail? But as you said, Dad, what ultimately happens here is they try to smear these Republicans and conservatives, but ultimately, like the DA in New York, like the impeachments, they fail and they look ridiculous at the end of the day.
Well, they do. And that's why, in the Bob Mueller probe, we were very aggressive in our defense with a successful conclusion because we knew there was no Russia collusion with the Trump campaign. We knew that there were no obstruction of justice. The president was saying everything publicly. There was no hidden anything. There was more testimony given in that investigation than in any investigation, I think, in U.S. history. The number of witnesses that cooperated without executive privilege being asserted, it was very, very significant. And they had nothing. So then they came up with the Ukraine. And on Ukraine, we go to an impeachment trial, and of course he's acquitted. But all of this is the reality of what we're living in right now. And I think that the problem here is when you criminalize the body politic, it's danger. Let me say this. Our concert tonight is at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. It will be on Facebook, I hope, Rumble for sure, YouTube, and ACLJ.org. There's multiple ways for you to view the concert tonight. So, again, it'll be on at 8 o'clock Eastern time. You can figure out your time zone from there. Facebook, Rumble, YouTube, ACLJ.org. So we encourage you to tune in and enjoy that. But and by the way, we're going to continue this conversation. We've got Congressman Jordan coming up later in the broadcast. We had a major move yesterday at the United Nations that we on multiple filings. When I say multiple filings, folks, what I'm holding up in my hand for a radio audience is about an inch and a half thick, 14 countries that we reported on from our European Center for Law and Justice in conjunction with our work here at the ACLJ to the United Nations Human Rights Council. C.C. Howe is going to join us on these. Progress in some countries, I'm happy to report, which is what we want at the end of the day. So we've got a lot more to discuss at 1-800-684-3110. Share the feed with your friends. Back with more in a moment. And Jordan, let people know, support the work of the ACLJ, a little bit behind the budget. So we really encourage people to support the work.
Yeah, we've got some new news, too, on our case, FOIA case against DHS, CBP, and ICE. They actually filed an answer, not a motion to dismiss. So that FOIA will move forward in court. We'll get in more of that when we come back for the break. Support our work at ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. That's at ACLJ.org. It's a matching challenge. You have until midnight tonight to be part of the March Matching Challenge. Donate today. We need your support. As my dad said, we are behind and we need your financial support to get there. ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. So we've got some new ACLJ cases to update you on right now. Continue this discussion, of course, on Hillary Clinton and your phone calls on that at 1-800-684-3110. And, by the way, not just Hillary Clinton's campaign, but the Democrat Party being fined over $100,000 for lying to the Federal Election Commission on the bogus Steele dossier. But we have a FOIA case. We had to refile this case to narrow it, so it's been one we've been working on. Kind of doubled down on the AC. It's titled ACLJ versus DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, CBP, Customs and Border Patrol, and ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Again, this is in response to human trafficking, the Biden administration canceling Operation Talon, the exploitation of women and unaccompanied minors, the removal of the Remain in Mexico policy, and it's a FOIA on that. Last night was the deadline for all three government agencies to file either an answer in court or a motion to dismiss. Usually, they try to file a motion to dismiss, like they did in the first case we brought. This time, they filed an answer. Mm. What that means for our audience and for everybody listening now is the lawsuit and the FOIA lawsuit to get this information moves forward in court. So yeah. The battle is no longer about whether or not we can get the documents. It's now how quickly we can get the documents.
Right. So we are actually in court litigating it. There's not a motion to dismiss at this point. They filed an answer. But one of the issues that people sometimes lose sight of on the border, and that is you think of all these other issues, but sex trafficking, human sex trafficking. Cece Heil, who heads up a lot of our international work, especially when it comes to the UN, has just filed 14 country reports, but before we even get into those, filed this morning, but in some of them, you will see that the issue ends up being not religious freedom necessarily, but human sex trafficking. This is a plague on humankind.
Yeah, and out of the 14 countries that were in the review period this session, four of them, we focused on human trafficking issues.
Will you explain to everybody the plague and the plight of what this is, what we're dealing with human sex trafficking?
Yes, I truly don't believe that there's probably any member state out of the 193 member states at the UN, there's probably not one member state that doesn't have an issue with human trafficking
including
the United States. There's not one that doesn't have an issue. Of course,
who are we talking about? What age person usually?
It is children, and we have examples of, an 8-year-old being taken and having to work as a slave in a household until she was 40 years old. They keep them for a long time in some of these countries, and children in the Netherlands, sadly, it's very little children, sexual exploitation in the Netherlands, and they're one of the top countries because they have legalized prostitution. And so it's problematic in every single member state.
When a border is not being protected, like we're having right now, if this Title 42 is rolled back, we'll talk about this with Congressman Jordan. But Cece, if you roll that back, you're giving an open invitation to these horrible cartels,
yes,
that are trafficking in human beings.
Yes. So if you don't put things in place at the border and you just have open borders, it literally makes human trafficking very easy to flow people in and out. And that is what they do. So there are times where people are taken from within their own country and remain in their own country. But usually they're taken from a country and they're taken to another country. And so if you don't have proper procedures in place at the border, you're going to have human trafficking just increasing exponentially.
So, Jordan, this move by the Biden administration is going to do nothing but increase human trafficking.
Yeah, and not just human trafficking and the problems with the human trafficking, sex trafficking, trafficking of minors. But this is also how the drug mules get in. And so we know that there's going to be people lining up at the border right when they know that this policy is coming to an end, and they're going to line up hundreds of thousands. They're going to overwhelm the system. They're going to be, they're going to claim asylum. They're going to be allowed back into the United States. Because they got rid of the Remain in Mexico policy, and they got rid of Operation Talon, which is the FOIA that we were just talking about, getting the answer to from the federal government agencies late last night, so that case will move forward. But it's also the fentanyl that's killing Americans.
Yes.
That's how the drug mules get in. And we've seen this from big cities to small towns, from the north, the south, to the west.
Affecting every family in the United States. Many families in the United States.
It is killing people all over the country who, because, and by the way, that's not just a tie in to the drug cartels that emanate in Central America, but it also all relates back. The fentanyl is made in China. The Chinese are sending it to the drug cartels to then kill Americans. I mean, that's really what they're doing. They know by using this substance, a tiny drop. I mean, I couldn't even show you on air because it's like it would be on my pinky, like two little tiny, tiny pieces, and that could kill you, an adult man.
And it's being done.
And the Chinese are creating it and using the Mexican drug cartels to get it through our poor southern border.
To bring it into the United States. Now, I want to tell you this, and we didn't plan on hitting this, but it'll give you the idea. When we go to the United Nations and file these reports, we have filed reports on the government of China.
Yes, we do as many times, not just waiting.
And we
for
lay
the,
it right out with what they're doing.
Right.
And focus is usually, you said to me the other day, Cece, you look at generally three topics that in any given country, that because we do, I mean, what is it, 45, 50 reports a year?
Yeah, about 42 to be
42
specific.
Reports
yeah.
a year to the United Nations, legal documents that we file, and then we do these interventions. There's three things you look for.
Yes. So for the Universal Periodic Review, which is the record on each member state, their human rights record,
right.
And that's the 42 reports that we do, we typically look first for any religious violations that they have, religious persecution. And then we go on to human trafficking issues, and then usually protection of life issues. So those are our three main issues that we look for in each member state.
On the human trafficking, how widespread within the countries? You said it's just about every country.
Absolutely. It is every country. We could write about human trafficking on every single country. We try to hit the highlights. So if we're in a country where Christian persecution is higher, we won't address human trafficking. But human trafficking is a blight on the world, not just a specific country.
I mean, you hear what our colleagues say, that every single country in the world is dealing with human sex trafficking, and mostly it's kids. And that's why the American Center for Law and Justice is fighting, even in hostile environments, Jordan, like the United Nations. You have to be there. We're there. We played those videos of you all making those presentations in front of the UN. Our European office has done it as well. This is serious work. It's important. We have to stand for those that can't speak for themselves. And your support of the American Center for Law and Justice does it. 14 reports filed this morning. I'm holding it in my hand. If you're watching, listening on radio, it's about an inch and a half thick. If you're watching us, there you go. This morning, Cece and her team working on this till late last night. So this is it's a whale of a project, big project.
And of course, our lawsuit against the Biden administration now moving forward, which is a clear sign they didn't even file a motion to dismiss, and that relates directly to the border and their failed policies, their bad policies at the border. So we need your financial support, the ACLJ. You have until midnight tonight to be part of our matching challenge so that your donation is doubled. A group of donors will match all the donations that come through until midnight tonight where you are. We're behind right now. So if you can donate, donate today at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We've talked about a lot already today. Our work at the UN, our work, the lawsuit against the Biden administration and DHS, ICE, and of course, the Customs and Border Patrol. Trying to seek, and now we know with the border about to be extremely porous and chaotic again very soon. I mean, there are two Democrat senators from Arizona, Kristen Sinema and Mark Kelly as well, who both said, to please don't do this, Biden administration. Do not revoke this Title 42. We are going to have a crisis again, and it's going to just increase. Because when the warm weather comes, the people come. This will just make it worse. But the Biden administration ignoring even two Democrat U.S. senators from their own party, ignoring them, but we're fighting back in court, and they did not. That it is key in that case, just to remind people that they didn't file a motion to dismiss. Usually they do.
Yep.
They filed an answer, which allows us to proceed.
Yeah. They're going to fight us every step of the way, though, by the way. I mean, so this is going to be, I mean, this is litigation with the Department of Justice on an issue like this. Frankly, it's trench warfare. But let me tell you something about trench warfare and why it's important. Trench warfare is important when you are fighting for kids. And when you're looking at the border issues, at the end of the day, it's you got a lot of people coming in illegally, and you got the drug trade, which is horrific, which impacts kids. And as Jordan said, fentanyl's impacting about every family around. But that sex traffic is a big part. I could never understand why the Democrats would not just say, just for the sex trafficking, put up a wall and protect our border.
Yeah, borders have to have procedures and policies in place that will catch the sex trafficking and human trafficking that goes on. That is true for every single country, and that includes the United States. So our border needs to be protected for many reasons, like you said, for drugs, for terrorists coming across, but especially for human trafficking. That's where you stop it.
You know, Jordan, the question then becomes, of course, is why is the Biden administration insisting on not following through with it? Why are they doing this? Is it because, well, it was done by Trump, we're not going to do it?
Well, here's the interesting thing, too. You know they love pandemic issues, and they're already talking about other strains of COVID. So it's bizarre that those who love the mask and you know the mandates and the show your papers would remove this policy, but for that it was a Trump administration policy, Dad. I think you're right. And so Title 42, which allowed the immediate removal of those who showed up at the border instead of allowing random asylum claims that weren't earlier prepared with the right documentation so that people could try to get into the U.S. Then once they're in the U.S., they live in the shadows, which is horrible as well, by the way. But they are letting this expire by the end of May. This was done to protect Americans from more spread of COVID and new strains of COVID. And there are new strains out there right now as we speak in the world that other parts of the world are dealing with. And while we focus a lot on the migration coming from Central America, where predominantly most of these migrants do come from at the southern border, there's also migrants from Africa where these new variants are being found. That's why Title 42 existed, to immediately expel so that they could not get into the population and spread a new COVID variant. So you'd think from those who love, you know, the idea of shutting down, masking up, showing your papers, that they would like this policy, but it goes against their idea of a porous open border.
Yeah, I think the last thing here, we only got a minute, less than a minute, CC, is the administration's so bent on undoing what was successfully working that they will even go against, quote, their own science to do it.
Yeah, politics reigns supreme. They don't care about the people of the United States.
That is the key thing right there. Politics reigns supreme, and you put policies go on the second, it's like the second shelf in all this. That's why you have an American Center for Law and Justice to fight back. We can fight back for you. We have offices in Washington, D.C. We're about to open up another really big office in a really big city. I'm not going to announce it now. Really big initiative of the ACLJ. Jordan, let everybody know, last day to support us, ACLJ.org.
Yeah, it's the end of our matching challenge. You have until midnight tonight where you are to double the impact of your donation. We have a group of donors. They're going to match all those donations until midnight tonight where you are. So you double the impact of your donation. If you can donate, donate today, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to Secular. We are taking your phone calls too. We'll take your calls on Title 42 as well. We'll take your calls on the Clinton campaign and the DNC having to pay this fine. I want to go right to the calls. Those who have been hanging on the longest. We'll start there with Tracy in Mississippi on line two. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, guys. I see now it was Klein Smith that he's only been given probation. And is that the way they're just going to fall? They're just going to get a slap on the wrist, and Sussman is, you know, who knows if he'll get charged.
So the Sussman case is still pending. That indictment's more recent. They're in the motion phase of that case right now. When it came to Klein Smith, he was the one who changed the
email
and submitted a fraudulent email to the FISA court. Look, I mean, it's a slap in the wrist, but he may also get disbarred. Although there's been reports that he's already been readmitted, if that's possibly true. I mean, it's unbelievable to me that that would be possibly true, but it could be.
Well,
go ahead.
There is a double standard in Washington, D.C., I will tell you. Democrats, they get treated differently. They get treated differently by the courts. They get treated differently by the justice system. What's interesting to me, Dad, is they're the ones actually getting criminal charges against them, not Republicans.
Yeah,
it's Democrats.
It is.
And they've been going after these Republicans for literally since the beginning of the Trump administration to today as we speak with the January 6th committee. And it's the Democrats and their attorneys, both inside the DOJ and FBI and outside to the Clinton campaign, who have actually gotten criminal charges filed against them.
Yeah, and what's interesting about all of this is that the criminal charges here are because of in the civil case as it relates to the FEC, is because they were making misstatements to the Federal Election Commission about who was paying for what and for what purpose. And then the lawyer that's already been indicted on this because he gave a false statement to the FBI saying something to the effect of, I don't have a client here, when he had a client, the DNC and the Clinton campaign. But they based that on information to then get a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act warrant. You're talking about abuse of government process. There's a classic, horrible one.
Yeah, let's go back to the phones. Barbara in Utah on line one. Hey, Barbara.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question is, with all the things like spying on a sitting president that we've heard from various sources, why are we not seeing anybody facing criminal charges and jail time?
Well, you are. I mean, there are criminal cases that have been brought. The case against Michael Sussman, he's been indicted. So it's pending. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. There's talk that in the Durham investigation, there may be, in fact, be more indictments coming. So I think you've got to be clear that, look, the process grinds very slowly. And part of that is because our Constitution sets up that you're presumed innocent. And that's important. So I would rather have the process take time, but have a presumption of innocence. It's better for the process. So I don't get overly concerned about who's been indicted this week or not next week. It's, will people be ultimately held accountable? And the ultimate accountability, frankly, is in the election. That's when you have your ultimate accountability in all of these things. And we'll see what happens. I mean, it, you know, the 2022 elections are now months away. And is there going to be, there's a report that the indications are it's going to be a Republican sweep of the House and the Republicans may well take the Senate. Jordan, you've been in Washington for the whole week so far. What is your sense on that?
Yeah, it looks like the House is pretty certain. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of time in elections, and there's primaries happening as we speak, and candidates are important, too. But if you look at like the generic ballot right now, because we don't know how all those primaries are going to come down, and you look at the retirements from the Democrats, over 30 retiring Democrats from the House of Representatives alone, that tells you you're probably picking up about 20-ish seats, which is huge right now in a very divided partisan country. There's only so many swing districts left in the country that are really purple districts that you can pick up a new district. Now, since there's been some redistricting as well, but even there, Dad, a little tough to predict because some of that redistricting is not finished yet.
Yep.
Still
you
being tied up in courts and state legislatures, both in Georgia, there's some in Florida as well.
Yeah, and Senate. Georgia's probably a purple state now, I would think, at best.
Yes, absolutely. And while the Senate race in Georgia looks like, that the primary is not done yet, but if it's Herschel Walker, he's doing very well in the polls against the Democrat there. But you've got this primary between two different candidates for governor. And if one of those candidates, one will win and one will lose. And if the Trump-endorsed candidate, who is not the governor right now, loses and you have this suppression of Republican votes, then you can see where things get more complicated. That's for the Senate. For the House, I think people are pretty confident, as you know, if the elections were held today, I think that Republicans easily take back the House. Speaker Pelosi is no more, and likely would probably take back the Senate with one or two at least.
All right, let's go ahead and take some more phone calls. 800-684-3110. We're getting some calls on Title 42.
Yeah, let's go to Twyla in California on line 3. Hey, Twyla.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to know if they were concerned about all these people coming from who knows where, who's accountable for these children? Who takes on the accountability for the minors?
Well, I mean, DHS is really worried about that, to be quite honest. Homeland Security's Border Patrol agents are saying it's going to create a humanitarian crisis in proportion to what we saw years ago when we didn't have these policies in place. And the kids are the ones that suffer. And it's heartbreaking to watch it. But it's a policy decision that allows it to happen. And that's the problem. Instead of working with the governments from the country of origin or with Mexico to say, stay on this side of the border and then make sure these kids are housed properly, we end up with a humanitarian crisis and no preparation for it. And that's what you're really looking at, Jordan, taking place. We're going to talk to Congressman Jim Jordan about that in the next segment of the broadcast.
Yeah, that's right. Let's go to Beth in New Jersey on line 5. Hey, Beth.
Hi. I am one of the supporters of ACLJ, and thank you for the work that you do. Yeah. So my question is, there's been a lot of talk being expressed about concern for the Title 42 to be expiring in May. But even if, you know, it's still in effect right now. But so are people being turned away right now because it doesn't look like it, because the Title 42 doesn't look like it's being enforced right now?
Well, the people are being turned away. Let me play Congressman Chip Roy from Texas. His district is dealing with this. This is what he said.
The Secretary of Homeland Security has announced that he is ready to end the use of Title 42 on our southern border. This as we speak, while in March, we've had 100,000 apprehensions in the first half of the month, barreling towards 200,000, of which half have been able to be turned away under Title 42. When the Secretary ends Title 42, there will be a deluge at our southern border. This is known.
So, Jordan, the ramification, and by the way, the Border Patrol is saying the exact same thing, that they are preparing. That's why they're opposing it. The ICE unions are opposing it because they're saying the exact same thing is going to happen, and it will happen with a rapid rate.
Yep.
Border officials have expressed concern that without the rapid turnback policy, they will quickly be overwhelmed by migrants. This, according to Wall Street Journal, leading to dangerous overcrowding in border facilities and release of people into the U.S. who have not should have been either jailed or deported. So it's a very dangerous trend.
Yes, and we know what this is happening, exactly the timing of this move. By letting it it come to an end sometime at the end of May, that's the warm season in America. That's when these migrants make the journey. You know, so it's already a very dangerous journey, but they don't want to do it in the cold. So they do it when the temperatures warm up. So this is happening, coinciding exactly at the time when there's already, as you heard from Congressman Roy in that clip, there's already a massive problem at our border. This will increase it tenfold. And you will have people lining up as they know when this date comes, they will start lining up, those caravans will start again, and we will be repeating the process of creating, I want to repeat this again, creating human catastrophes and crises, humanitarian disasters. I mean, you realize we talk so much, Dad, about the amount of Ukrainians that have fled Ukraine. It's in the millions now, and it's even tough to get the exact number. That's how many people we're dealing with at our border yearly.
Right.
Yearly at the southern border of the United States.
And what comes in that southern
border.
Trying
to cross that through a court system.
Yeah, that doesn't work because you don't have enough immigration judges. And then, as Jordan, as you mentioned, and Cece mentioned, that between the human sex trafficking and the fentanyl, which is killing young people, adults, I mean, it's a plague on our culture. It's affecting almost every family in the United States. If not every family in the United States, it's horrific. I'd build that wall to keep the drugs out and to keep the cartels out with the sex trafficking. That would have been enough for me. But they have to play politics in Washington and say, oh, it's not compassionate. I'll tell you what's not compassionate, okay? Having fentanyl that could fit on the tip of a pencil be able to take someone out. That's not compassionate. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org, aclj.org, in our matching challenge campaign. Tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, Jay Sekulow is going to be performing, so you're not going to want to miss that. It'll be on Facebook, Rumble, YouTube, aclj.org. So it'll be on a lot of platforms. But support our work in the matching challenge, aclj.org. Congressman Jordan coming up in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
To Seculo, folks, we are joined by a great friend of the ACLJ and this broadcast, Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio. Congressman Jordan, I want to get right into it. Title 42, the Biden administration, even though you've got even two Democrat U.S. senators from Arizona that pleaded with the administration not to do it, they are dropping the Title 42 protection program at the southern border. At the end of May, which is when immigration and illegal migration increases exponentially because it's, quote, the warm season. Your reaction, Congressman, to why the administration? I mean, is it really just because this was a Trump policy that they are removing this now?
Who knows? But what we do know now is there's no way to interpret this other than this is intentional. I would say a year ago, you know, a year ago in March, we had the highest month on record for illegal crossings of migrants until the month of April. And then April was the highest month until May. May was the highest month until June. June was the highest month until July. I mean, 2 million in a 1 year's time. And now they're going to take away something that's helped us stop people and actually have something of a presence on the border to limit the 2 million. And they're going to take that Title 42 away. So it's intentional. It's deliberate. It makes absolutely no sense, but everything the Biden administration has done makes no sense, and that's why everything's a mess. And they got a, you know, what is 63% of the country thinks we're on the wrong track. I kind of want to meet the 37% who do, because I mean, who are these people who think anything's going right?
Hey, Congressman, it's Jay Sekulow here, and I wanted to ask you. First of all, I appreciate so much your service to the country, and it's been great working with you for so many years. But I want to get the situation on the border. You know, we do reports to the United Nations. We talk about the influx of sex trafficking that is impacting literally every country on the globe. I mean, there's no country immune from this. And then we've got this, you know, the Biden administration wants to dismantle anything the Trump administration did that was protecting our borders, reducing sex trafficking, and still was a problem. I'm not saying it wasn't. It's still a huge problem. And then you add the fentanyl to it, produced by the Chinese, sent over through the drug cartels in Mexico to the United States, and that's impacting just about every family in the United States. So I understand politics, and you and I live in that world, but you know, there would be a part where you would think just human compassion would say, shut this down.
Yeah, because we all know communities, we all know families and individuals who've been impacted by fentanyl and lost a loved one in their family. That's pouring across. So, yeah, it's all that. Plus, like we said, 2 million illegal immigrants coming into the country in 1 year's time. And here's the takeaway I have, too, is it's almost like you want to ask the administration, well, which is it? Because on one hand, you said you want to spend $22 billion more. Joe Biden wants $22 billion more dollars of American tax money for COVID. But now we're going to because we're concerned about COVID. And then at the same time, we're going to get rid of Title 42 because, no, COVID's not a big deal. Because Title 42 is because of a health issue. You can just stop people from coming in. So you can't have it both ways. But this is just, again, typical left-wing baloney from the Biden administration.
You know, Congressman, I wanted to go to an issue as well. So we know the southern border, but there is breaking news out of the Judiciary Committee, which you were the ranking member from the Republican. The Judiciary Republicans are launching an investigation. We've been talking about this all week on our show, Congressman Jordan, and we're talking to Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio, folks. He's the ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee. The Judiciary Republicans are launching an investigation into Twitter and Facebook following new reports on Hunter Biden's laptop. Tell people, you've got the letters that you sent to both CEOs of those companies. Tell people what you're looking for.
Well, 18 months ago, just days before the presidential election, our most important election, we all knew that the laptop was real. And of course, Twitter and Facebook colluded with big media and Democrats and said, no, it's Russian disinformation. So now we know because Washington Post and New York Times are writing about it. The laptop was real. The eyewitness Hunter Bobulinski was certainly real. The email documents were real. It was all true. And I think the big takeaway for me right now is, why is the media suddenly coming forward and telling us, oh, yeah, we've confirmed what we all knew was true a year and a half ago. I think there's a big question there. Why? What's the motivation behind the media now coming clean? But our concern is the fact that Twitter and Facebook, working with the big media, the legacy media, said, we're going to keep this information from the American people. I mean, truly a conspiracy. Oh, and it wasn't just Twitter and Facebook, and it wasn't just big tech and big media. It was and Democrats. It was also 51 former intelligence people who wrote the letter. I mean, you talk about a conspiracy to keep valuable, critical information from the voters, from we the people, in the run-up to the most important election we have. So we've asked Twitter, we want to know all the communications you had regarding this. How did you make this decision? Why did you do this? And let's hope that we get that information.
You know, I want to say something on this because, Congressman, we've been battling with Facebook for the last couple of months. We had one whole series of posts labeled false by Facebook, and partly false, I should say. And I was reading the indictment from the Durham investigation. I have a vague familiarity with that since I was the president's counsel at the time, right? Okay, so then they say partly false. And then we pound back and say, nope, here's this, this, and this. And they say, oh, you're right, we're going to remove those. Meanwhile, they sent notices to, you know, could be millions of people. I have no idea. We have 8 million people collectively on our Facebook pages. And then this month, we get one labeled. I'm trying to think what they said about that one. I think that one they said, was that one just false? And it was a case we were actually handling. They said the legislation was not up in the Maryland House. They said it hadn't been introduced. There were no hearings. Our lawyers had testified at the hearings. And then they say, whoops, you're right, but it's still, we think there's a problem of context. So these big tech companies hide behind Section 230 and get away with anything they want.
Yeah, and we got to change that. Look, Lord willing, if we get the majority, we are going to work on legislation, have legislation that overhauls 230, takes away their liability protection. Now, the bad news is Joe Biden's not going to sign it, but we're still going to pass those good things so that we can help frame up the 2024 race when I hope President Trump runs, and I think he's going to, and I think he's going to win. But we will focus on we will have legislation, Republicans, if we're given the majority to deal with Section 230. That's just one step in other things we have to do in that area. But yeah, the power they have, but this one was, I mean, this was amazing because we're talking literally days. We're talking late October. When you have an eyewitness come forward and you have text message, or excuse me, you have emails that say 10% for the big guy and the same big guy who just, as you know, with the impeachment, Jay, the same big guy who pressured Ukraine to fire the prosecutor because the prosecutor was looking into the company Burisma, the same company that was paying Hunter Biden thousands of dollars. So that's a concern, and no, that's disinformation. We're going to keep it from the American people. And now the Washington Post and the New York Times say, no, it was all accurate information, which, of course, as I said, we all knew at the time.
Congressman, we appreciate you joining us, and we sure do appreciate your leadership in the House of Representatives. Congressman Jim Jordan from Ohio, good friend of ours. Thanks, Congressman. Jordan?
All right, folks, let me encourage you. You've got until midnight tonight to support the work of the ACLJ and be part of our matching challenge. That means you will double the impact of your donation. We have a group of donors. They will match every donation that comes through until midnight tonight. And the way our system works, it's where you are at midnight. So a $20 donation, it's like 40. 40, it's like 80. But you've got to make the initial step, take the initial action. So if you're financially able, we're running behind, we can get there with your financial support. Donate today at aclj.org by midnight tonight.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.